Welcome to Guys We Fucked. Guys We Fucked.
Guys We Fucked.
I'm Christina.
I'm Corinne.
We're sorry about last night.
Fucked. The anti-slut shaming podcast. I never stop.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Guys We Fucked.
The anti-slut shaming podcast. I'm Corinne.
I'm Christina.
And we're here. An undisclosed location.
Yeah.
Yet
super
again.
Super private and secret.
Yep.
We sound great, though.
That's what you have the headphones on, so.
Oh, yeah. So we sound great.
Going to do it. Thanks. That's great.
You sound so beautiful.
That's good to know.
Yeah. How was your week?
My week was great. It was super busy. I'm very tired. I'm falling asleep pretty much everywhere I can. But I finally am done with my maid of honor duties for the one and only Paula.
And the wedding went well?
The wedding went great. I got to take two naps during the course of it because
good for you.
I don't know how Paula got through it without taking. I guess that inner joy brings excitement. I've never felt it, so I'm not sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's her day. That's her fucking day.
It's her day. And let me tell you, like, Paula's always beautiful, but she looked like
stunning. She is a gorgeous
like
girl.
Like a supermodel.
Really?
Like, kind of ridiculous. Her hair was like curled. She had like and not that much makeup, but like fake eyelashes, and like they curled her hair out. It looked like she had extensions. She just has so much hair.
Oh yeah.
But just like and like probably the thinnest human being I've ever seen without looking disgusting.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
Know, like she hit
A-plus.
It right on the as thin as you can get before you look malnourished.
Right. Yeah. Good for her.
Which is a goal I think we all strive for.
Yeah. Yeah. Is she one of those people that's naturally?
Oh, she's naturally thin. She generally eats pork like it's her job.
Good for her.
She's never exercised a day in her life.
She ain't no Jew.
And she's not just, yeah, she's not just thin. She's toned, which I don't know how you can have abs but never work out.
I know some people who have them. I'm like, good
sometimes
for you.
I think like if you have a lot of anxiety, you can have abs.
Because you hold your stomach muscles
in. Yeah, and you're always like shaking a little bit. But she's not really a super anxious person.
No.
She's a little bit. She's not anxious in the way that other people I know are. But it was great. My favorite moment throughout the way, because I kind of let her do her thing and like whatever. There was like 300 people there. Like we're best friends. I don't need to be all over her ass. Like she knows I love her.
Yeah.
And I was doing a lot of like maid of honor duties. Like I tried to take it very seriously. So I was doing like a lot of work and making sure she looked good. And I was the one who had to help her pee, which she told me earlier in the day. She was like, if I have to pee, because her dress was just
huge.
Like huge.
Did she have a train?
Yeah, I mean, they took that off at the reception, but just like the biggest princess.
Aww.
just
fluffy.
I don't even know if she carried it seems so heavy.
Wow.
But so, you know, and I was on the altar at the church. So that was great. First time I've been to a church in a long time.
How was that? House of God.
I mean, a bunch of nonsense, but that's fine. It was fine. I was just so happy. And her fiance, now husband, looked so happy. No, and
oh,
so
good.
She was like kind of, she was pretty drunk later in the night. And she comes over to me and she's just like, can I pee? And it was like,
aww, she's
it was
so
like
cute.
9 o'clock at night. And I was like, you haven't peed since you put on your dress at 1 p.m.
Oh my God.
I was like, how did you do that? And she was like drinking alcohol. And so I lead her into the restroom and she's just like being funny and like yelling at people to like
and
sign her
best
book.
Friends.
And she like, and so I like lifted up and it was only me. And I was like, there was a million other people, but I felt honored that she could only go to the bathroom with me. And and she sits on the toilet and her big fluffy dress is all around here.
Aww.
And she like looks
what
up
a
at
scene.
Me and she's like, this is love.
Aww.
And I was like,
love.
You know what? I was like, my cold heart grew 3 sizes that day.
That's that moment where Jessa hops into the bath with Lena Dunham at one of the ends of the
oh,
seasons
yeah,
of Girls.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I love that scene.
That's so beautiful.
No, it was great. She was just so happy. And like, I feel a kind of love for Paula that I don't feel for anybody else.
Yeah.
And it's like, and it's a very like, it's like a very selfless love. Like she can do whatever she wants. I never get mad at her. It doesn't matter. And I just want to see her happy. Like,
yeah.
It was very like, I don't feel like that for anyone else. So it was nice.
Thanks, Corinne.
It was nice. Well, I mean, just literally no one else. Like, no one else on the planet.
I know,
it's a weird thing and it's unexplainable.
It's beautiful. It's your best friend.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that's how you know when you love, like, romantic love, when you love someone, if you feel like that. Because
unconditional.
Yeah, like, my ex-boyfriend, I did feel like that. I mean, I would get mad
really?
At him, but I felt, like, I knew I loved him when I felt true happiness for his success. Like, we're in the same field and he was getting success for things at one point that I would have definitely wanted, but I was so happy and I thought he was so deserving of them.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh Jesus Christ, I'm so in love with this motherfucker.
That's awesome.
So
now
that, yeah.
I love weddings, and weddings are awesome.
Yeah,
they're just a big giant party. But I whenever I'm single at a wedding, I'm like, all right,
Who's it going to be? Really? Who am I going to crush on?
Because I felt like so sometimes. Not horny at that wedding. And I was I ended up not bringing a date. Yeah. Because I was exhausted and like I barely had
friends
energy
there too.
Two. And I was just more concerned about like giving my speech, making sure Paula was okay, taking naps.
Was your speech emotional?
My speech?
Yeah.
It was me, so no.
So zingers?
I mean, it was funny. But, I mean, I did put, you know, I mean, I've been friends with this girl for 17 years. Yeah. So.
You had a lot to say.
Yeah, I had a lot to say. And I'm very happy. I was very nervous about it. I think it's.
Really?
It's the gig I was most nervous for in my entire life, easily. Oh. Yeah, I've been thinking about that for a year.
Well, I mean, a lot of people are looking at you who
it's not
also
about, it's not,
love
it wasn't
her.
About that. I wasn't, you know, 300 people, whatever. That's nothing. It was that I just wanted it to, you have one shot. Hopefully this isn't happening again.
Yeah.
Like, how do you sum this up in 17 years, especially for Paul and I, because we're so unemotional and uncommunicative. Like, this was my chance to be like, this is how I feel.
Love you.
You know?
Yeah. Oh, like, that's great.
We know that, but it's more like a, you know, unwritten Natasha Bedingfield type of relationship.
Totes. And la, this was. La, 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 la. That'd be hilarious if you just went up and sang that song.
That's, you can't get, you. I can't get you out of my head by Kylie Minogue.
Fuck.
I was like, I could sing that too.
Damn it. What is she? What is Natasha Bedingfield?
Natasha Bedingfield is like, the rest is still unwritten.
Oh. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I forget the rest of that song, but yeah, I know
she
that
sings something else. I mean, I was a bigger fan of her brother, Daniel Bedingfield, but then he got in a pretty bad car accident.
Oh, he was a singer.
Yeah.
Wasn't he a singer?
Yeah.
He sang a lot of stuff.
He has his first like popular, I don't know if it's his first album, but his first like mainstream success album is fantastic.
Yeah. Oh,
I really pushed for that to be my song on the Twirling Squad. And we ended up with something that, I think we ended up with Waiting for Tonight by Jennifer Lopez.
Oh, jeez.
Which is fine until the 75th time you've heard it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've been very, I had a bad period.
Yeah, you were telling me.
God, today's the first day that I was fine. But you don't get very hormonal. Do you, Corinne?
It doesn't affect my emotions. It physically almost murders me every month.
Oh, okay.
So I can't stay awake.
Mm.
Like, I like, like it's like I have narcolepsy.
Yeah, I get a little bit of that. But definitely, like, the past 2 days, I've just been wanting to die. Oh, God. Horrible.
Well, you're a very emotional person. I feel like things affect you emotionally a lot.
Oh, I feel the feelings.
Yeah.
So hard. And it was bad. I was such a pain in the ass to be around. Oh, poor Steven. Shout out to Steven. Good for you putting up with me.
Like, what do you do?
I just laid
Are
in bed.
Are you mean? Or?
I'm mean, but I'm really short. And what I do is I feel so bad every time I'm short with someone that I try to be extra nice and it almost comes off as a fake. And I get annoyed by how fake I'm coming off. And then I get frustrated. It's like a horrible vicious circle. It's awful.
Jesus.
And I just get like really depressed. Like, I don't want to do anything, but it's so much shit to get done. And oh, man.
Huh.
Yeah, but it's a bummer. But it's passed. Thank goodness, because not every month is like that for me at all.
Yeah.
But whew, that birth control, those ones where you only get your period a few times a year, when it comes, run.
Well, that's why I always question that, because I'm like, is that
I know
safe?
Well, my GYN, when she gave me this one, she was like, she said I probably wouldn't get my period ever, and I was like, but how come? That sounds weird. And she was like, no, it's normal. I'm like, are you sure? But when it comes, man. Bye.
I
mean,
bye,
world.
Yeah, the thing, I don't know. The whole female reproductive system is pretty fucking weird.
It's very complicated.
Yeah.
And everyone's so different. I don't know.
Man, bodies.
But I made it through the storm.
Oh, my God.
And I'm back, baby.
Oh, Jesus.
Let's read some emails.
All right.
All right. So I'm going to read this email. The subject line is the whitest black girl. Hey, hey, Corinne and Christina. My name is Ariel. You can say it out loud. Oh, good, because I did.
match it.
Sorry. And I fucking love your podcast. You guys are awesome and make me feel so empowered about my sexually explorative ways. I can't say thank you enough. I identify so much with you, Corinne, that it's kind of scary. So you're awesome and sassy. Okay, so I have a question.
Is that her description of herself?
That's what I just said.
Oh, God. We're going to get emails about that.
I added
Christina.
That. What? That you're awesome and sassy?
That all black girls are sassy.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah. I was saying that because she's
get
like.
I'm going to get tweets about it.
I was saying that because she's like you. I think you're awesome and sassy. Okay, so I have a question for you guys, and we'll try to make it brief, but here's a little background. I'm 25-year-old black female from Oklahoma. I grew up in a small country town, and by small, I mean I graduated high school with 27 students.
Oof.
Jesus.
Oof.
That is so small.
How many people did your graduating class
1,100. Mine was gigantic.
Your senior class?
My class had 1,100.
Mine had 620, and that's
huge.
Yeah. Holy shit.
Yeah. But bullying stopped because there's so many people. It's like, there's too many people to make fun of. I'm just going to stay with my clique.
That's
great.
Good. Yeah.
So being one of the, of like two black kids in the whole town, it never bothered me, and I never had a problem with all my friends being white. I accepted them and they accepted me. I do get a lot of shit because of the way I talk or the things I like, such as music, but it never bothered me. People often say, "You sound so white," or my friends often refer to me as the whitest black girl they know. And my favorite, "You're the prettiest black girl I've ever met." That's okay. That's fucking,
That's just a weird thing to say.
I will admit, if we are going purely off of stereotypes, then yes, I am awful at being black, but this whole whitest black girl thing never became a problem until I started to take dating seriously. I never dated in high school or college, but I did / am having lots of sex with lots of white guys. We can say that my vaginal demographic is predominantly white. I like the way that's put. Not that my vagina is a racist, but I have never had sex or dated a black guy or any other race. Not that I'm opposed to it. Black guys just usually assume I'm pretentious and aren't really interested. And also, there just isn't much cultural diversity in Oklahoma. I've had one relationship in my life, and he had happened to be mixed, some kind of island blend or black. Originally... Sounds beautiful. Originally from Guam or something. But
then, it seemed like they had a really deep relationship. He had like a name and wore a lot about sometimes.
But other than that, I've been pretty single. It feels most guys who are white that I go on dates with are doing it for the unicorn factor. I wonder what it would be like to have sex with a black girl, which is fine because I'm always down to fuck. But sometimes I would rather a little more than that. Of course. None of these guys ever seriously consider a relationship with me. I'm not sure if they're scared to bring me home to their parents, if my personality sucks or what. I'm often told by the white guys that I go on dates with that things wouldn't work out because I'm very intimidating. But part of me thinks it has a lot to do with race, which I hate to think that way. Yeah, I'll continue reading. I've even had friends tell me that I'm awesome, but they could never date me because they couldn't bring me home to their parents. That's... I forget that happens because we live in Manhattan. Yeah.
Well, no, it happens here too.
I know I really probably should branch out and explore less shelter place to live, like move to culturally diverse city. But in the meantime, what is your take on this? How would you suggest I go about dating without race being an issue? Sometimes I feel like I live in the 1950s again. I have no idea if that's an accurate time frame. Don't judge me. No, I think you're right. Race honestly doesn't matter to me, but seems to be an elephant in the room for guys I'm interested in. I've also tried online dating for a change of pace, and I'm way too awkward for that. Thanks for everything. You guys are the best. Fucking love you guys. And she included a photo. Holy crap, you're hot. I feel like guys are intimidated by you because you're really beautiful. Yeah. Thanks for I love when people send us photos. And she's stunning. This is interesting because I've never been to Oklahoma. I grew up 10 years in Virginia, mm-hmm. in like South Virginia, in like people had Confederate flags on their porch. And it was always very weird. I always knew that it was weird. but I don't know. I feel like... I know there's not time right now for you to just move up to another city, but that's one of the things that I would suggest. I would get so frustrated.
But I mean, if your family and your friends are there,
you're not just going to pick up and move.
See,
for that.
Okay. This is why I asked for pictures, because honestly, it has to do with a lot of stuff. And looking at your picture really helped me with this. I'm going to say, from what she said, from saying that she's like me and looking at your picture, it's
very strong-minded woman.
I don't think it's really about the race so much. I think maybe a little bit about the race, but like, how do I say this without sounding fucking racist? You look like a whitish black, like it's not the kind of black where someone be like, this is a black girl, not a kind of black girl that I want to take home. Unfortunately, how there is this light skin, dark skin thing, the way you look, I don't think.
Yamanika talks about that a lot.
Yeah,
actually.
And it's true. And if anyone wants to fucking tweet me about it, please do. This is Corinne talking. I don't really think that's a problem. What set off alarm to me was when you said you were like me, and then you said people find you intimidating, because this is a huge problem. It's something I'm dealing with currently, so I can speak a lot about it. Men are so fucking intimidated, even pretty aggressive men, by strong women, and they don't want to date them. And it's a huge problem, and always has been, and has been the result of turmoil in most, if not all, of my relationships.
Right.
And I wish I had an answer.
I do see it happen.
I don't know how to do it. And I was going to say just now, I wish I could tell you how to fix it, but it's nothing that you need to fix. It's something that society needs to fix.
Yeah.
And that's a long time coming.
You're drop dead gorgeous and you're a strong minded woman and you seem fucking great. You seem like you have a great head on your shoulders and you just seem all around wonderful. And I feel like, God, you just need a guy who can appreciate that and not feel intimidated.
Yeah. And it's going to be super hard to find. And you being pretty is not helping. That's just adding to the intimidation factor. And I'm sure the black is adding to that too. But honestly, I don't think that's the main thing that's going on. Yeah, you live in Oklahoma, so that's, you know, a little bit weird. But it seems like, you know, you're kind of chilling with white people. You live a pretty quote unquote white lifestyle. So it doesn't seem to me that that's the real problem here.
White? What's white lifestyle?
Like you hang out with white friends. And you know, it's like if she hangs out with all these white friends, she has this quote unquote, like, does white quote unquote white stuff.
Like apple picking?
I'm sure
I read a BuzzFeed article that was like, 25 things that white girls love. And it was all like the most obnoxious.
That white girls love?
Yeah. And I was like, okay. And then I read it and I was like, yeah, I guess that's true.
Yeah. I was like, I would love to go apple picking right now. That sounds fantastic.
And then have a picnic and drink whiskey.
Yeah.
And smoke cigars.
Well, most people like to have picnics and drink wine. I'm not into that because that makes me sleepy.
I don't like wine.
I like wine, but only when it's like sexy couch, warm fireplace time.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to fall right asleep.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah. So, Ariel.
This is like something that I'll be checking in periodically with you about because I have no idea. This is something I've been thinking about for months.
What?
Being too intimidating to date.
Yeah.
And no, being too aggressive to date.
But I see,
I don't know the answer.
If she's like you and that she guys are easily intimidated by her just because of her personality, if a guy can't handle you, it's kind of heartbreaking because it's kind of confusing when it first happens. You don't really realize maybe that's why it's happening.
Right.
And then you take a step back and you're like, son of a bitch.
My advice is just stay single until someone can handle it. Do not in any way fucking address your personality.
Yeah, you're wonderful and gorgeous and thanks for writing.
Well,
and
maybe you're a monster, but you seem nice.
You seem great. I want to be your friend. So yeah, fuck them. On to the next, because a lot of guys can't handle you.
All right. Okay, so this is the next email. I really liked this one.
I knew you would.
The title is Thoughts from a Fat Slut. I was on board already.
You had me? Okay, go on.
You had me at Fat Slut. Ladies, I've been a faithful listener from the time I read about your podcast in HuffPost several months ago. I find your straight talk on sex and your guests to be interesting, funny, and relevant. I may not always agree with your opinions stated on the show, but I am a true believer in free speech and don't agree with people trying to force their politically correct views on others. But I must admit, I stopped in my tracks while listening to the Feeble Ass Bitch episode when the topic of fat women came up. I was surprised to hear comments like, quote, it's not just that you're visually fat. Get your life together and be healthy and love yourself. That was you, Christina. And in the case of the fat chick approaching the hot guy, this was me. I bet that guy would be like, not forever, but maybe tonight. I did say that and I still think it's fucking funny. being a very confident BBW, what's that? Big beautiful woman? I think so. Or fat chick who fucks a lot of guys. I actually felt fat shamed in a forum I thought was accepting of my slutty and proud lifestyle. It made me wonder if you ladies think being on the slut spectrum is only acceptable for average sized or small women. That I truly believe in free speech and not watering people's opinions down with political correctness, I respect your opinion. However, I would like to offer up my experiences as a fat slut, which I hope may enlighten you to a demographic you are not part of, being average or small-sized women. First of all, yes, I am fat, but do prefer being called BBW. All right, well, let's just calm down with that. My fat.
Well, everyone has their own.
No. This makes me laugh. We're going to talk. I know I love this fucking chick, but we're gonna keep going. My fatness is a fact, no denying. When my kindergarten students say, teacher, you're fat, I agree and proudly say, yes, I am. It's a fact and I refuse to admonish 5-year-olds for stating facts. I completely and unabashedly accept every ounce, curve, roll, and stretch mark as they are hard-won trophies in my eyes. You're telling me a lot of Doritos. why? Because after years of severe clinical depression, numerous hospitalizations, countless hours of therapy, hundreds of thousands of dollars spent on dozens of medications at different dosages, and combinations, I'm still alive. I didn't succeed in taking my own life on the many, many desperate occasions I almost did. Unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on your stance, during the dark years of emotional struggle, I self-medicated with food, which caused dramatic weight gains. Some of the medications didn't help matters either. You might say my eating was a slow form of suicide. I don't bring this up as a low blow. It's just my truth. Mm-hmm. In any case, I'm an obese woman who knows, not thinks, she's a beautiful woman, an amazing spirit, and an individual people are damn lucky to know. I didn't always feel that way and literally hated myself through most of my 20s. At 36, my life is finally together and I fucking love myself every inch. Am I the healthiest person? No. But I would argue, is my previous food addiction any more unhealthy than overindulging in alcohol, smoking drugs, or having unprotected sex? Do I love myself less than the guy who drinks in excess nightly or the girl that fucks her guy friends without condoms? I could go on and on with this my body is a temple bullshit, but I think we can agree most of us can improve in that department. Second, I currently live in an Asian country where many men relocate to find a beautiful, tiny, stereotypically submissive woman. Mm-hmm. Other than beautiful, I am the polar opposite of what 80% of the men I find attractive here are after. So one would guess I never get laid. Wrong, wrong, wrong. I get laid every 4 to 5 days at the very least.
Nice.
I have 3 regular fuck buddies and I fuck other randoms, mainly tourists passing through. And guess what? They are average-sized guys, not other fatties. Some even, dare I say, hot. Yes, ladies, that's right. Some hot men actually find fat women attractive and gasp, even fuckable. And horror of all horrors, more than once. Maybe even forever. Am I everyone's cup of tea? Absolutely not. Do I have a fetish body that attracts chubby chasers? Of course. But I don't feel that's any different than a guy wanting to fuck you for your nice tits or a tight little ass. And for the record, I find fat men attractive, but rarely fuck them. Let's just say the logistics of 2 fatties trying to fuck can be complicated, and I'm not into playing human jigsaw puzzle. Seriously, though, I will continue to listen to the podcast and refer like-minded friends, as I have always done. Thank you for that. I just hope in future episodes, the fat sluts get the same amount of respect as the average-sized women on the slut spectrum. And she attached some pictures.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Okay, so I love this email because I don't know how – I talk about this more in my stand-up than I think I do talk about it on the podcast, but I am super fat at heart, sometimes fat in real life. It depends what kind of emotional state I'm in. and I love fat guys. Like, I actually prefer to date fatter people. I'm not talking, like, obese, mm-hmm. but I like chubsters and I prefer that. So this email was interesting. And like, as we were saying that stuff,
it doesn't
last
shock
week,
me that a woman of a bigger size gets laid at all. Mm-mm. That doesn't, I don't know if we maybe accidentally communicated that the last
episode.
No,
I see where you can get it from. I think what I said.
It never has.
No, what we were talking about, where this conversation came up, what we were talking about was how a lot of times you will see an unattractive man with a hot girl.
Right.
But you rarely see an unattractive woman with a hot guy. And you can fuck all the hot guys in the privacy of your own bedroom that you want if you're overweight. But I'm just saying, please, if you are an overweight woman right now, and I'm talking like real overweight, not like a rap video girl overweight. I'm talking about like traditionally
like
overweight person, and you have a hot, a thin boyfriend, please send me a picture, because it's super rare, and I'm not going to change my opinion on that because I fucking walked down the street in New York City. And it's not, I'm not saying like, oh, you know, you shouldn't be, you know, fat or whatever. Be fat if you want.
Well, my comments from that episode of the whole take care of yourself, I will say those stem from very personal experiences in which my dad got diabetes. My dad got diabetes because he ate himself into it. And mm-hmm. the whole time we were like, Dad, don't do that. Dad, what are you doing? Dad, stop. Eat right.
Right.
And he fucking ate himself into diabetes.
Right.
And it pisses me off because I don't know. It just really angered me because we tried to help him and eat good things and whatever. But it seemed like he has a food addiction.
Well, yeah. And I, speaking as someone
and
who has,
now
a
has
food
diabetes
addiction, I completely understand this email. That's why I wanted to read it, because where she talks about, you know, it's the same, having a food addiction is the same as killing yourself with alcohol.
Absolutely.
It absolutely is. And I talk about my food addiction all the time. I totally eat as a coping mechanism. Like, I don't so much eat when I'm sad, but like, it's not actually as a coping mechanism. I don't really have a coping mechanism except for comedy. But I totally like eat I'm addicted to food and I think about it like all the time. Like I'm obsessed with it.
And you also get a happiness from food that love food.
Yeah. Thank God I don't eat when I'm stressed out because that would be
I think that's why my dad like ate himself into diabetes because food made him happy and everything else in his life was stressing him out so much that he was like, let me just fucking eat this Whopper and you shut the fuck up and I'm going to do what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
And I get that. I get it. It is for him. It was a coping mechanism because that was his source of happiness. And, you know, that's where that comment came from for me. Anyway.
And because this is the anti-slut shaming podcast, I feel like anytime we shame any group of people, we get bombarded with emails. The same thing happened when we talked about black people. The thing is, we're also comedians, so our job is to shame everybody. I fucking hate everybody, and I think everyone's a disgusting piece of shit. We talk about this often.
Yeah, I love everybody. And I want to hear, I like when people get really upset over things we say, I really like that they write us.
No, I love that we get this letter because we haven't had anyone fat write in. Because they're, no, I was going to make a joke.
Well, they could. Like, they're just didn't make
too
a deal
busy
out of
eating
it.
And their hands are dirty. They can't get to the computer.
Said the fatty at heart.
And the thing is, like, neither Christine or I are skinny women. Mm-hmm. So I just want to make that clear. Anytime you see us skinny, that's Photoshop. We're both curvy.
Or because we try real hard and didn't eat for a week so that we can look skinny for that one photo.
Yeah, we're certainly not fat and we're not going to, I'm not going to sit here and be like, we're I'm so fat. At times in my life, I have been heavier. But I've never really been fat per se.
Don't you hate those girls that are really thin and they're like, oh God, I can't eat this. I'm going to gain like so many pounds.
There's also something to feeling fat, though. You know, I know how my body should feel. Yeah. And so if I say I feel fat, that's different because I know I know how things should feel.
Yeah.
And as far as the BBW, that's just like we're fucking in a culture where we're just making up little lingos and titles for shit to describe something that's gross for ourselves. I'm sorry. I can't do that. That's like little people, big world. It's midgets. You're fat. You're black. You're white. Shut the fuck up. I'm so tired of these names. I can't deal with that bullshit. Everything else about that letter I loved, but the BBW, no. You're fat.
All right.
Fat chick.
So.
And I love you.
We're going to bring on our guest.
Okay.
She's a lovely lady.
Yeah.
Her name is Mary Beth. Let's go get her.
Yeah.
Oh, you gonna take me home tonight? Oh, down beside that red firelight. Oh, you gonna let it all hang out. Fat bottom girls, you make the rocking world go round.
Okay, we are here with our lovely guest, Mary Beth. What up, girl?
Hi.
How you doing?
Very good. How are you guys?
I'm good.
Oh, I like your sexy podcast voice.
Am I doing a sexy podcast?
Yes.
It's so great.
Everyone has a sexy podcast voice. I think Ryan Reese's podcast.
How long can
podcast.
I sustain it?
Oh, I don't know.
That was a good one.
I always like, you don't talk like that.
He had a really sexy, and he sustained it the entire podcast.
Yeah, because in real life, he's like, hey, guys, how you doing? Hey, I'm Ryan Reese. I'm a comic, and I warm up.
I'm not eating carbs today. Do you have any pepper?
No, let's save that cake for Carb Sunday.
Oh, my God. I was just so impressed you maintained it for so long.
Yeah. How you been?
Very
how you
good.
Living?
Very good.
I'm so excited to have you here.
Well, thank you. Excited to be here.
Can I ask how old you are?
Yes, 52.
52.
Yes. Oh, Jesus. I never knew.
Honestly,
you had hinted that you were approaching 50. I didn't know you were past
I'm
it, though.
Past
Jesus.
It.
Yeah.
Everyone looks so fantastic.
You look great.
Guys, what's stay single. I'm serious.
It really is.
Single
is
women look so much
single.
Younger.
Oh, my
when
God.
I say single, I mean non-married. But yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, holy
absolutely.
Shit.
Yeah, you look great.
Have you ever been married?
No.
Oh, okay. Didn't want
I'm like
to,
you. I yeah.
The
no.
thought, the very yeah. thought disgusts you.
Fear. I'm frightened of it. That
you're
forever
frightened.
And ever thing really freaks me the hell
when
out.
When did you know that? And early on, or when you started dating and it started?
Yeah. I just can't do the forever and ever.
When?
Yeah. I don't even. I'm not even friends with the people like good friends,
right?
Like that I went to high school with. I grow too much. I you know.
It's interesting
I evolve.
Because you're an ordained minister, so you perform weddings, but while you're doing it, you're like, this is a terrible idea.
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah.
You guys are retards.
I can't. And that's funny because when they interview me too, you know, people think, oh, this is a, you know, they always ask inevitably, you know, have you ever been married or are you married? And I said, no, I'm afraid of it.
That's so
and
funny.
Prior to being a minister, I was a wedding calligrapher. So I've been in the wedding industry
wow, you've been in
for
that zone.
Years.
Maybe that's why
yeah,
you hate it.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I've seen the dark side.
Oh god,
and it is an industry, and they're out to fuck you.
Oh, as is everything.
You know, from the money. Oh, the florist, everything.
Oh, and then I love when you see a wedding and they're going along. They're doing like the take the garter belt. They're doing all those traditional things, and no one really. You could tell the couple doesn't give a shit, and they're not really relating to everything. They don't really care. They're just doing it because everyone's here and they paid a lot of money.
Yeah.
So when did you lose your virginity?
I was older.
How old?
I was, oh my God, I was almost 23.
Okay.
Yeah, that's pretty old. Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
Is it?
Because I was raised Catholic, very strict Catholic. Mm. So I was saving myself. We were all saving ourselves.
For marriage or for relationship?
I think for marriage, but it didn't even occur to me that wasn't, you know, I wasn't going to become a different person as I got older. That same person that was afraid. Plus, I was also heavy. I was also, in high school, I was very heavy. And I started to lose it, I guess, in my, 30s.
Okay.
That's so interesting because you're so svelte right now. I can't even imagine you. So, I'm obsessed with the quote-unquote fat girl personality.
Right, right.
And that, and I mean, I have, you know, I don't think it's just a theory that I made up. Like, lots of people, there is a fat girl personality.
Oh, I agree with you.
And you can usually sense when someone has previously been fat, and like even if you can't like pinpoint it, once they reveal it, you're like, oh, that has so much sense. I understand you so much better.
Yeah, I agree with you.
So how do you feel like being fat like shaped your sexuality? Like it made you have sex later?
Yeah,
because you were because you felt uncomfortable with your body.
Yeah, I think so. Oh, absolutely.
So between the Catholicism and the weight.
Oh, yeah.
You were like, nah, I got to wait for a second.
And that's the funny thing about the Catholic girls, because Catholic girls are like, give the best blowjobs. Because
my mom told me that.
Yes, because you're saving yourself.
Right.
And I knew girls real good when that time comes. Everything, but use a vagina. And I'm like, oh, yeah, God loves you.
Oh,
I love
when people are like, I'm saving myself for marriage, but anal sex isn't sex.
Yes.
But it is.
Yeah, wasn't that the big Britney Spears thing that she did? Yeah,
oh, did she do anal her and with Justin, J-Tim?
Her and Justin did anal. Mm-hmm.
And he was probably like, score.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
exactly.
Cool. You can save yourself.
And to everyone else who's having regular sex, like most of us aren't even having anal sex. We're like, oh, that's too much for us. So that's so funny to me that would be like, oh, I'm going to opt for the butt penis.
Right? Did your parents tell you anything about sex?
Oh, no,
or was like,
no,
nope,
no,
you don't do that?
No.
Really?
Did they scare you
away from it?
No, we just didn't discuss it.
Just
we
no talk.
There was no talk.
That's the Catholic way. Sweep it under the rug. That's how my mother was raised. My mother went to Catholic school.
Right.
Things aren't discussed. That's why I'm the emotionalist gem I am today.
Yeah.
And my mom, like coming off of her parents, is so much more emotional and so much more open to discussing things. I can't even imagine how it was to grow up in her household. Things just weren't talked about.
Yeah, they
fucking
just
like communism.
And that's all you know. Yeah. You just learned to brush it under the rug.
Right. You didn't discuss.
So what was losing your virginity at 23 like? Were you excited?
Oh yeah. I planned it.
Were you like,
get it over with?
Yeah. And had the Today Sponge all said, because that was the big thing.
You keep talking about this. What is this?
Oh, you don't know.
That's Today Sponge.
I meant to Google it.
The sponge for today's girl.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was what
does that mean?
Oh, it was a contraceptive. Look at me. I'm doing the contraceptive because that's what you had to do. You had to squeeze. I'm doing a squeezy hand.
So you put a mini sponge up your hoo-ha.
Yeah, you get it wet and it foams out.
Okay, I've heard of
this. Because it's spermicide.
Oh.
And you literally fist yourself to get it in there.
Right. I didn't know this was a real thing.
Do you have to push it until you can't push it anymore?
You push
it real good.
You place it up against. Well, that's the first time I just threw it in there like a tampon. But then I realized, oh, no, you have to place it.
Right.
So you have to really get your whole hand in there.
The penis is going to touch it, I guess.
It sits up against the cervix.
These are things that like people don't even do. Like spermicide, is anyone still using that?
Spermicidal lubricant?
Yeah, and diaphragms and stuff? Yeah, you guys don't know.
Diaphragms, I know people who use diaphragms.
Okay.
IUDs?
Do people still use IUDs?
Yeah, I think so.
The idea of sticking something up my vagina for contraceptive reasons, is, I don't know, it freaks me out.
I don't trust it.
Yeah, me either. I'm like, it could go.
I'm like, that could move.
Or disintegrate one of, you know, when you're chewing gum and sometimes it disintegrates. It's so weird. It's like there's no rule. Just sometimes it disintegrates.
And you're sore because you're putting your hand up yourself. And
before you lost your virginity, you basically lost your own virginity
exactly,
by putting that
myself,
sponge up your vagina.
Myself.
Yeah, the Lord already hated you for masturbating, Mary
Fuck
Beth.
You, Mary Beth. Did you masturbate a lot when you were young?
I didn't start masturbating till, well, yeah, I knew I did, but I didn't know what it was.
Yeah.
You wake up, your hands between your legs, and it felt really good, and you had a good dream. I didn't know it had a name.
Right.
I thought I invented it. And, you know, I just...
It's always like, I got to tell other people about this.
Exactly. No, but it was shameful. So I didn't have to, I wasn't going to tell other people. It's just something that, you know, made me a pervert or whatever. So
What kind of things did you think about? Do you remember? Like, what, like, were you thinking about, like, guys in your class or girls in your class or celebrities or?
I think a mixture of celebrities, you know, mix of Andy Gibb and.
I feel like there was a lot of celebrity masturbation going on.
When I was young and I was masturbating, I never thought of anything. I was like, this feels good. Let's keep going. Erotic thoughts were never a thing. I just like wanted to have an orgasm. I'm like, this is the bee's knees.
I didn't even know it was an orgasm. I just knew it felt good.
Yeah.
You know, when I thought those thoughts and put my hand down there.
That's how I feel like I would bump my vagina into my bedpost and I'd be like, that feels good.
Now, wait a second.
Or when you went to sit on your bicycle, anytime I sat on my bicycle, I was like, this feels like has, good.
When I sat on the dryer, that felt like, you know, the
Has anybody ever, when you're like really little, how old were you when you started masturbating, Mary Beth?
Oh, I'm going to say my earliest memory was like, right around puberty, like 13, 14.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mine was a little so earlier. Older. Oh, mine was, oh, okay. So maybe I'm the only person who's done this, but have you ever, when you're a child, I remember being in like fifth grade and I was masturbating and I knew it was the greatest thing ever, but I didn't know it was inappropriate. I just didn't know anything about it.
Right.
But sometimes I would catch myself like putting my hand on my pants in public. And no one saw me, but I was like, oh, I feel like that's not a good idea. I guess I'll refrain. No one's ever done that
because
to me.
Because you were so young.
I had no idea. I didn't know that was a thing you didn't do with a friend or in public or I don't know. That was just me? All right. That's cool. don't worry about it. It's fine.
I mean, I was in college the first time I masturbated.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
The first person I had sex with taught me how to masturbate. Like,
right.
I wasn't masturbating. I mean, there was times when I would like run into something or touch something, but never not even close to orgasm.
Right.
Yeah. Like didn't even know that was a thing or how to do it or. Yeah.
Right.
Just not a.
I didn't get good at it till my late 30s.
Was the guy. Well, that's hopeful for me.
There you go.
Was the guy that you lost your virginity to, was he your boyfriend?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And how was
right
that?
Down the street. Oh, it was horrible. It was horrible. But you know what I liked? I liked the nakedness being close with somebody.
Yeah.
I knew that was cool.
Oh, that's the
best.
So
I kind of went, you know what? I'm just going to stay in the game.
Yeah.
And stick it out. And eventually it might feel pleasurable.
Yeah. So, yeah. It's interesting how, like when I first had sex, it was just painful. It was awkward.
It was awkward, cold
in the room. But I knew that if I hung in there, it was going to get better.
Right.
Survivor story, guys.
Yeah.
Did you ever have good sex with the first guy you had sex with? Like, eventually, did it ever get good with that guy? Or was it always, you couldn't get the groove?
I got the groove. But once you know what you should be feeling, it wasn't until, you know, you hit your 30s, you go, oh, it should feel like this. So as the longer you're doing it, you're getting to know your body better.
Now, I've heard that a lot of women's sexual drive peaks in their 30s. Is that true?
Oh, yeah. Mine actually peaked in my 40s.
Really?
Yeah.
So was it
Mrs.
good?
Mrs. Robinson.
Were you really sexual and horny in your 20s?
No.
Oh, okay.
Not at all.
So
it was
wasn't...
still like a new thing.
So what do you think this means for us? If we're this sexual in our 20s,
oh my God, you're gonna
what's
going to
happen?
A great life.
We're going to have a great life? I feel like it causes a lot of problems.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, it does, I guess. But those are good problems to have.
I guess. You know? But I want it to get better. I don't want it to go...
I have like an ebb and a flow. Like I can go for a while without once I've gone 3 weeks, I can go like 3 months.
Oh
but
yeah.
Like
yeah.
And then yeah. But once you have it again, then you're like, ah, fuck, I got to do this all the time now.
Right. Shit,
and
this
you just
is
keep
fun.
Going
I forgot.
Through this cycle.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I would rather have no sex than bad sex.
Oh. Agreed.
Bad sex
pisses
is
me the hell off. Because
it's a waste of time.
What's the worst sex you've ever had?
Total waste of time. Oh my God.
Isn't it? It is, right?
It angers me. I've stormed out of apartments.
Good. Good for you.
Seriously? I shaved. I dolled up. I put makeup on.
That's why it makes us so pissed.
I look
like,
adorable.
Yo, we prepped.
Are you goddamn kidding for me?
Wait, what? So like what? The guy just lays there and expects you to ride like a pony?
People are just bad at it.
Yeah, some people. In retrospect, I don't really know what went wrong. I met this guy and he had everything, the dream person that should be, you know, tall, funny, all, you know, checking off all the boxes here,
yeah.
laughing at me, thought I was hysterical. Mm-hmm. No, that's fantastic.
That's the number one winning quality.
Yeah. We had a similar kind of life story, kind of went, wow, this is great. So when it came down to sex, it was absolutely, he was on my bed like a beach whale. And wow. and
that's why he was single, though. He had all these great qualities. Yeah. That's for me.
So
when
he's like, I don't have to lay. I
need
just
a single guy with all these great qualities. I'm like, oh, what the fuck is wrong with you? It's going to be real
bad.
Well,
I'm going to find out. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And how'd you tell him?
He wasn't that, what's the politically, well, do I don't have to be politically
no,
correct
please
on this.
Don't.
He
Jesus,
was
no.
really small.
Small
like,
penis.
Yeah.
Small
yeah.
dick, yeah.
However, you know, let's be like,
that's
not everything.
That is not the end all be all at any means.
If I had a small cock, I would be just like down
there. Best tongue ever.
Eating. Yeah. I would be a master with my
hand.
Yeah,
you would learn
a master with my mouth. Uh-huh. Exactly.
Yeah.
Because I don't care. You know, either way, I'm just like, you know, get me to Pluto and back. That's all, you know, I bought a round trip ticket here.
Right.
And nothing.
Oh, that's
yeah.
bummer.
And I was pulling out every trick out of the bag going, okay, come on.
Yeah.
Because
like some guys, they put that effort in and it's not good, but I think that it's like an A for effort. We'll teach them how, but this guy kind of sounds like a lost cause.
No.
He didn't even want to put any work into it.
I gave him, and I had friends visiting me from Australia, and it was great because these women were fantastic.
They're I love very, Australian people.
I know. You're me too. Very sexually open.
Shout out to
and
Australia.
I was telling them about him. They were like, you know, they came on my date with me, my third and final sex date, because we had a couple other dates. So we went out to dinner and said, you guys are going to meet him, because they knew me for years. And they were like, after the evening, you know, we met him for drinks and we're hanging around. And then he goes up to the bar, bought the drinks the entire night. And they
Life
said,
of the party.
Yeah, not for you. And I went, oh, come on.
They knew already?
Yeah, they knew.
Did they know he's bad in bed? Mm. Or did they just didn't like him?
They just sensed. They said, not for you. And I'm like, really? Mm. But on paper. They were like, no, we're not surprised about this.
You can't trust on paper.
Yeah.
And you just got to go with the vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've done it a few times.
And they had the vibe. But I still went home with him. That was the third and last time.
Mm-hmm.
And in retrospect now, I'm thinking he might have been an alcoholic because there was always a lot of heavy drinking, like heavy.
Yeah. So his dick didn't work.
Yeah, that's possible. But then, you know what? You're bringing a lady such as myself into your bed. You know what? Maybe curb
Perform!
The drinking. Maybe, like I said, the tongue, the hands, something.
Yeah, do something.
Bring something to the party.
Did you ever tell him, hey, dude, you're
no,
not
I didn't
doing
know
anything.
To, yeah, I just kind of
yeah,
it's
always
weird. Peaced out.
Sometimes
you know?
I'm just like, stop.
And it was early enough. Cut. We were only together
and
like a month and a half. So it was like, okay. I didn't feel. It
you weren't emotionally
That's
invested.
A long time for to put up with
I know.
Bad
I was
sex.
Like a dude. I just like, I just.
Didn't. I give it two tries.
I feel, I know.
But two strikes, you're out.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you have an interesting story. Tell us about the threesome where you found out your boyfriend was gay.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I want to know about that.
I dated like four gay men.
Really?
Me too.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
gay men love
us,
right?
They love strong, independent
strong
women, yeah,
and sassy women that speak their mind.
Yeah,
and I wear makeup and you doll up. I any place I've ever gone or worked, the gay men will come.
Oh yeah,
to
anytime
me.
Someone has a crush on me, I question their sexuality immediately.
Yeah, me too.
So
I
know
he's gay. Trust me, he likes me. Right?
How long have you been dating him? This particular guy, the threesome.
I met him in Ireland.
Ooh,
get that.
Ireland.
That's even weirder. He's not Irish. Or wasn't. Well, he's still, I'm assuming,
still
alive.
Still probably not Irish and hopefully alive.
He's Irish now. It's really weird.
Exactly. I made him Irish. But I met him at a pub and...
As the Irish
I
do.
I heard the New York accent in the pub, and I was like, wait a minute here. And it wasn't a touristy pub. It was
right.
out in the beaten path, you know, visiting family. I'm going, I got to find this voice, because it was like, you know, very, very New York.
Yo, you get this fucking bee over here. That ain't Irish.
Like, I got to go find this accent. I found, wasn't he? He was, sure enough, he was on my flight back to New York.
So now you're thinking serendipity.
And serendipity was meant to be.
Wow.
And he was really, really good looking. Like, too good looking.
Check.
Like, did he like glow? Because then that's a real alarm.
Like physically glow?
Yeah, I think he did.
Yeah, see, now, you know, there's true straight men have a little speck of dirt on them.
Yeah.
A little bit.
So, and he was considerably younger than me, too.
How much?
Almost 15 years.
Yeah,
nice.
Mary Beth.
I know. Oh, my God. So he was on my flight, and...
Did you hook up in Ireland?
No, because I had family there. And even like in retrospect, I could have, because Irish people, even though they're it's really funny. They're very religious, but they're still European. So, you know,
a little more liberal
than us.
My
cousins left the house. Their mother made sure they had condoms. Like, that would never happen in my
house.
Nice. Oh, no. Yeah. Yeah, because safe sex is
place is better about that than America.
Oh yeah,
honestly.
Absolutely. Yeah,
Jesus, I think even like Chinese parents are giving out condoms. Yeah. Like, this
Shametown
is just,
USA, baby.
Just horrible in America.
There doesn't seem to be the shame laid on sex that we have here.
Right,
that's so nice. But no, it wasn't until we came back to the States and came back to New York, and but like on the first date, so I was like, well, you know, again, weeding them out. You gotta, you know, come on. Let's see how you do on the test. It's a pop quiz. And it was okay. It wasn't great, but I was like, all right, you know,
did he get fully hard?
Yeah. So that was good. It wasn't, now that I think about it, there wasn't oral. That's something I enjoy.
You think do you think there should be oral on the first time that you get
sexual with
someone?
Oh no, but I don't think there ever was. Am I blocking it out? How long
did you date
him? Oh, it was a long time.
How
9 months.
Oh, okay.
Nine months with no oral.
I'm thinking. It must have not.
Did you also go to a Cher concert? Jesus Christ.
Did he have glitter in his bag? And you're like, what's that? He's like, nothing.
He wasn't smart at all. But he was so hot. Mm-hmm. And this is how I know I'm a shallow person.
No, that's fine. You're allowed to treat yourself every like three right? boyfriends.
I'm
you're allowed
gonna
to
do this for me.
Pick a hot one. Just fuck it.
I know. And he was so stupid that like it was bad. Like, I couldn't even take him to improv. I couldn't take him to stand. I couldn't take him to meet my normal real friends.
He wasn't good with
who
people.
Who were smart because, well, that you knew he was dumb right off the bat. You couldn't even, like, pretend.
You couldn't. No idiot no. savant. Just
no,
idiot.
No. Damn. Yeah. And my friends be like, whoa.
Yeah.
But look
at
him.
Yes, I'm a magician. I'm also a very shallow person. But I'm not. But that time I was very shallow. I felt like the guy who dates like the hot girl who's an idiot. I had that moment. So I can't say that about men because I had my glass house. So I can't throw stones.
Oh my gosh.
I know. So, but yeah, it was he'd been pressuring me to have a threesome. And
did he say with another guy or with another girl?
Well,
did he
specify? Telling me he wanted his friend. It would be like, kind of fun. And when it was first proposition,
tell me it was a man, Mary Beth.
Oh yeah, it was.
Yes,
it was.
Yes. Oh, my God.
Oh yeah, it was. Oh yeah. And I kind of went, I don't know. And he made it seem like it was first time for him. Well, and now I'm looking back, I think they just throw a girl in there so they could be together.
But that's lame.
It's funny because even though I invested 9 months into this thing, you couldn't fall for him because he was an idiot. Like, just think of it.
So
like,
were you not emotionally attached to him?
Oh, not at all.
Okay,
at
that's
all.
Good. Yeah, that's good at least.
Totally shallow. It's hard to be connected to someone who's just a fucking idiot.
Yeah. Well, you couldn't have. I don't even think he knew I was funny.
So like, when he proposed the threesome with another guy, how did he present it? Was he like, well, it's my friend Ted?
No. He was like, he was telling me that his friend likes me. And I was like, oh, I like him a lot too. No, he really likes you. And
have you,
you know,
met him before?
Ever, yeah.
Okay.
Would you ever, think about, being with him? I was like, oh, yeah, I guess. Yeah, I thought these were hypothetical questions.
Or like a cuckolding
thing?
Like he wanted to see you fuck him.
Yeah, I didn't know if that was where we're going. I'm like, all right, I'll hear any kind of crazy, stuff you have to say to me. I didn't know that we were heading towards something. So eventually, I guess we're about 6 months in. We'd all been out drinking. And the friend just, joined us.
Here I am.
And in my memory, it was my apartment. I think what we were doing went to my bed, and the friend was supposed to be out on the sofa.
Was he wearing sequins and or did he do jazz hands?
My God. Well, what it was my boyfriend was on top of me, and I felt somebody like massaging my foot, and I was like, wait a minute, I'm feeling two hands up here, and I'm feeling a new like.
So they just tag teamed you.
That's also a real cake boy move.
Wait,
massaging
so the guy
your feet?
You thought the friend was gonna sleep on the couch?
Yeah.
And did he live in New York? That friend?
No, Long Island.
Oh, so, okay. Oh, yeah. Okay. So he's like staying here for the night.
Right.
But
right,
he had talked, your boyfriend had talked about the threesome, whatever. Maybe, yeah, I don't know.
It was a persistent ongoing thing. And I was mulling it. So I never just said joined no. You.
And then he put on a Tony Curtis
movie. That's so funny. That's exactly how my threesome with two guys
like
happened.
Christian.
But they were both just straight, I'm pretty sure.
Because I think
you're pretty
sure. I mean, they didn't fuck each other and they didn't seem like they wanted to.
No, mine did. Mine did. In wait, my so, bed.
Wait.
Okay. Oh my God. So this is amazing.
Your boyfriend is on top of you.
But also, this is like my dream.
Well, it's great. The threesome with you guys is awesome as long as they're not gay and they just want to fuck each other and you're right. Like, hey, I'm over
but it was,
here.
Since I wasn't emotionally invested, it was funny.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Great
and
story.
It's a great, exactly.
Well, so what?
But it took
how
me years
happen?
To be able to tell anybody it because I thought it was a reflection on me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I was like, oh yeah. My God.
We always
like, here,
do as I'm, women.
Because you're laying there in bed naked and they're
yeah.
choosing each
you're
other
like,
over
yo,
you.
Titties.
Perfectly good. Hot, like held it together.
Yeah.
Body here. You
right.
know, this shit's tight. Like,
right.
get in here.
Right.
And I was really, really upset. So.
Well, so the
in
other
that
guy
way,
joined
not,
in.
But I wasn't
well,
emotionally
yeah.
invested. So
the other guy
like,
joined
whoa.
In. He started touching your feet. Were you like, wait, there, who is that? I'm sorry, what?
Yes, I,
is that my landlord,
I was,
Tony?
I was like, wait, whoa. Like, how much did I drink here? What's going on?
And he was painting your toenails.
Exactly. I'm feeling quadruple.
And then they started touching each other, and I just went like, "Okay, this is a little
penis
so I
hands,
just start, penis hands started
okay.
happening." So I just moved myself away, and thank God I smoked at that time because I really needed something to do
you started
in
smoking?
My bed. And this is again, remember this is the '90s, so smoking indoors,
yeah,
smoking
yeah.
wasn't the evil bad thing. Like, like it was healthy back then.
With quotes, yeah.
They put carrots in them.
And broccoli.
There's a lot of veggies.
So they have no problem moving off of me, just moving off to the other side of the bed.
What?
Oh, yes.
That's
did you
rude.
Watch them exchange blowjobs? Please
I did.
Say
I
you
did.
Did. Yes.
I did.
Wait, so yeah. when that they started doing just them two, was it mm-hmm. just that the rest of the evening?
It was that the
did
rest of the evening. Oh, no.
Try
the best
and get
part,
in, like,
the best
tickle
part,
a butthole or something?
Well, every so often, my beloved, my boyfriend, would reach over, like while he had a cock in his mouth, I shit you not, and would like touch an ankle or touch my elbow, like
oh,
a non-sexual part,
he
to
tried.
Like include me, like, hey,
or, like, sweet.
And I'm sitting there with a little cigarette bit. And drinking my beer, and like, yeah, thanks. And I remember several times getting
oh
up and going,
God.
I'm going to the kitchen, getting a beer. You guys want anything? Oh, no, I see your mouth's full.
Oh,
okay.
My
God.
Oh, I was
God.
Loving it. Cigarette hanging out
last?
My mouth, cracking open a beer in my kitchen,
oh,
looking out my window.
Did they
going,
fuck each other?
This is, oh, yeah.
Molly.
This is so not happening.
And they probably got so lost in them wanting their
oh, yeah,
lust
they got
for
so
each other
lost
that they probably
other,
didn't
because I think they
noticed
they hadn't been together. And I'm wondering
oh,
if,
yeah.
if maybe they have to start with the woman. Is it so... Because they also were real Catholic, raised real Catholic.
Oh, well, there
remember,
you go.
they were considerably younger. So.
Yeah, they were like, well, if a woman's here, this is
it's
a threesome.
Cool.
This isn't gay.
God, we
correct.
Cool. There's a pussy
not,
in the room,
exactly.
God. You see that, right?
Yeah.
You see that pussy?
Right,
okay, good. We're going
right,
to fuck
right.
each other.
So now we can get lost in the moment. And they probably haven't been together since the last girl because they did seem like just so hungry. It was very erotic.
Oh my God. Well, I was going to say, that sounds hot, but also not when you're supposed to be included.
And you're naked. Right. You're and I stayed naked for the whole thing. I was like,
fuck
hell with that. Yeah, I'm not. I'm not putting clothes. Putting clothes on would have been admitting defeat. And I was like, no, not going there.
Did you feel hurt during this?
Initially, I was just like, what the hell's happening? And then I was
right.
like, oh, my God. And my feelings were hurt because I thought, like, you know, I look pretty goddamn good.
Yeah.
But then when I realized it wasn't about me and it was so...
Yeah, it's like if you like a dick, nothing's going to change
no,
that.
I'm
nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
You no peripheral vision.
Yeah, Christy Brinkley could be in this bed. I'm sorry, you know.
Right.
Or another hot... Well, I'm trying to think
someone,
of
yeah.
someone... Kate Upton could be in this bed right now.
Right.
And
like, can you give
modern.
Me a water, please?
Exactly. It's not going to change the game.
Yeah, yeah.
So then it was so outrageous. It was so hot and happening. That's when I just was like, this is comedy.
Yeah.
You know, this is, and I, that's
and then
when
he started
I started
stand-up.
Doing, exactly.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And that's what, well, no, that's when I started doing the, you guys wanted beer and this and that. And I started having fun with it, walking around my apartment naked going, this
how
is
long
so
were they
not happening
fucking?
To me. They were at it. Well, it felt like 3 hours, but I'm sure.
20 minutes.
And I was probably guzzling those beers too, you know, out of nervousness, like,
oh my
what
God.
The hell?
Oh my
But easily that was, it was 4 cigarettes worth. So that 20 minutes?
It's so interesting to me because so often, like when a straight woman will be married to what turns out to be a gay man, and you know, this relationship goes on for forever, and then finally the man admits he's gay. So obviously this is, you know, a much more succinct experience that happened to you. But when it happens, when this longer, these people have families, and then the guy finally comes out gay, and everyone treats that gay guy like a monster. Like, how could you do this to the woman? And like, I never, it's totally shitty. But at the same time, it's like, I often question, like, did the guy really know he was gay? Like, right. I think it's like, you know,
probably try to suppress
it. Yeah, it's totally depressing because it's like, you know you're gay, but you can't come to terms with it, or you maybe think you're gay, but you're trying
convince
to
yourself
fight
you're not.
It. And it doesn't mean that you don't love that other person.
I have empathy for them. And yeah. I have empathy for this guy. And in fact,
it's just deep self-hate and unaccepted.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And the next morning, you know, his friend was his friend left.
Did you all sleep in the bed?
No, his friend left. I guess he slept on the sofa because I woke up with the boyfriend and the friend was long gone. We didn't talk about it.
Like,
we didn't
talk.
We went out to
really
breakfast
good time.
At
that was
a
great.
Diner. We didn't even bring it up. We didn't bring
Are
up
you
the,
serious?
The incident. And it was like, I was like, all right. So
you're probably still in shock.
Yeah. And I was cool. It's like, pass the cream, you know.
So wait. So how much longer did this relationship go on after this homosexual experience that you?
3 months. 3 months.
Wow.
Yeah,
he was that hot, huh?
Yeah. Were no, you? He wasn't that hot. Remember, he lived out in Long Island, so I was here in the city. I didn't see him every day.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, so you
it was
just
more
didn't,
like a it's, weekend.
It's more like you didn't end it, but it kind of was just.
Did
still,
you know well, he was gay after this 100%, or were you still questioning it?
I was still
it?
Questioning it, and I told a few friends.
God
and they,
bless
they,
you,
and
Mary.
They, and they all, I know. Again, I'm
you're really
so
hung
loyal,
in there.
Like
you're really
a dog.
Hung in there.
I know. I will hang in there.
Good for you.
I will not give up on you unless you really don't please me. Like that one guy found out. Yeah.
Wow.
3 strikes, you're out. Rule. But you know he was up for it. But when we hit the 9 month mark and he was going away with that guy on vacation.
Oh, all right.
And I said, all right, you know, and we have to call it out now. And I said, you know, when you were on vacation in Ireland, it's when you met me. And I know how you are on vacation. I feel like I can say that because you met
right.
me. So you're going on vacation, not with me now. You're going with him and
that guy you butt fucked.
Yes, so
in front of me.
I think you guys want to be together.
You butt fucked that guy.
I think, but I said
it
in a much lovelier way, and it was because I really want people to be happy. I was so gentle.
Aww.
And he didn't want it. He didn't want it to end. He was really and I. Oh God.
Well, because you were his safe haven, so he can fuck
know,
dudes in your bed.
Safe haven.
That's why I didn't want it to fuck.
I know.
Every in the closet gay man wants a girlfriend who's okay with butt fucking in
know.
Her bed.
I wonder why.
Hit the jackpot.
He hit the jackpot because you
did.
Didn't kick him out.
No,
you were
not.
Like, all right, you actually catered. You said, do you want a beer?
I'll have pancakes with you next morning. Like,
what a great girlfriend for a gay.
I am an awesome girlfriend and I like show tunes. Like, it's the greatest thing.
You are the ultimate beard. Oh my God. You
really are.
Wow.
Yeah. So then, yeah, it ended.
And
but he called me a couple times after that. He would
to
call
try
me
and
to do little hang-ups, you know. But I could hear the background noise, so I knew it was him. So it was very sweet, and I was like, And then like a couple years later, I called him and did a hang-up, but I called it from somebody else's phone, so he couldn't see because I thought maybe his caller ID.
Yeah,
and I was hoping like a guy would answer, you know, but a woman answered, and I kind of felt sad. I thought because I would have wanted him to end up where he. Belongs.
Yeah,
I
with feel. A guy. Well, you probably referred to your bed as like Butt Fuck Island.
Yeah, that's so
and
sad.
And you really missed
like...
it.
Butt Fuck Island.
Yeah, because he could do whatever. And you were accepting. Yeah.
I was accepting. Accept
and this has happened to you several times? You've dated guys that turned out to be gay?
Or no, that's the only one I've had.
Surfaced?
That was the big one. Yeah. I've had other guys.
Three?
Yeah, I've had four, but but two I didn't sleep with.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did
I've
you
never
sleep with
had
them?
Sex with one. No, these were all young in my youth in high school.
Yeah, it happened to me in high school.
The guy who taught me how to kiss is a raging homosexual.
Well, he's probably great at kissing.
He was so gentle.
Yeah. See?
I owe everything I know to him. Yeah. And
gay
then
guys are good kissers.
In
yeah.
college, yeah. The first and he oh, I was that was the only one I was really surprised by. The first guy I dated very briefly before my long-term boyfriend. In college, He's married to a man now, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's cute.
Yeah.
Good That's for really him. Sweet. I dated a guy, or I liked a guy a lot. He was a couple years older than me, and everyone, all my friends were like, he's gay. I'm like, no, he's not. Shut up. And then a few years later, he was super gay. And everyone's like, see, I told you. But I'm like, you know, I feel like if someone's not ready to come out.
Yeah, don't push him out. Let him come out on their own.
Yeah. And I was in denial because I really liked him. But I always feel bad when that happens because it's like kids in high school are assholes and right. they're going to say what they think and they're going to be mean and nasty.
An
and
yeah.
It's just like, how do you fucking deal? Of course they don't want to come out. You're being a dick.
Right. Yeah. Right.
I don't know.
Anyway. I know.
So I was on a road gig yesterday. A road gig. I went to a college, guys, in New Jersey. Very obnoxious that I said that. And so we were talking in the car. It was me and three male comedians. And when I say male, like it was like the male, more the macho male ones. And we started talking about Derek Jeter. And I didn't know this. Did you guys know that when Derek Jeter has a one night stand, he gives the girl a gift basket?
I looked it up
and it is an article. It was reported, but yeah.
So like a thank you for fucking me? Yeah. Please don't tell anybody?
I mean, kind of along those lines. It's like he'll give them a basket with like autographed baseballs and all this kind of stuff for his one night stands. And apparently when the girl wakes up, he's nowhere to be seen and his butler gives this girl the basket.
Right. Oh. Right.
The guys in the car were sitting around talking about how nice it was that Derek Jeter did that. And I almost had a conniption fit, guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they were like, no, that's so nice because like if you're fucking Derek Jeter, like obviously like you're going to want to tell everyone. I was like, I'm not saying that you're fucking with Derek Jeter because you're in love with him and his personality. You're probably fucking him because he's Derek Jeter. I mean, in addition, he's a very attractive man. If he wasn't Derek Jeter, I'm sure he'd still be getting boned a lot.
Yeah.
He could be Derek in the bar down the street and he'd still get tons of puss.
Right.
Because
right.
that's just fucking who he is. But I was Ew. Like so flabbergasted that men thought this was something nice and not completely demeaning.
Yeah, it's somebody. Here's something to remember me by. Shut up.
And there's so much wrong with it. There's so much wrong with it. The fact that the butler, he's not even there.
Yeah
that's like, so fucking rude. Me,
you're inside that woman. The least you can do is
it's
impersonal.
Jesus, maybe if he did that to like to someone he was paying, like a prostitute who's paying, that would be a nice little gesture.
Exactly. I think it's pretty obnoxious.
I mean, and if you're paying for sex, then it sounds like as long as you're not,
unless someone asks
for it.
He's
his own celebrity.
Yeah.
The fact that he's giving out all his
He's full of himself.
Exactly.
Of course he's full of himself.
I would take that baseball.
Throw it through his window?
Yeah. Exit the house and fucking throw it through it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
I take the free ride home. I'm assuming he has a car service that takes you home.
Oh, yeah.
If there's a butler. Yeah.
Forgive me. Jesus.
But yeah, I wouldn't want that.
I was like, I can't believe we're living in a world where men think that's a nice thing to do. Like, there's just like the disparity in views.
Thank you.
The female mind and the male mind.
But what do you think he means by that? What do you think Derek Jeter, obviously he mustn't think it's a piece of shit move because he does it.
The guys in the car interpreted it as a, hey, I'm giving you some valuable stuff. Please don't go blabbing your mouth around town about this. Like, don't sell.
Don't have sex with people if you're so fucking afraid of that.
But how valuable is it? Because he has so many one night stands. There's at least, easily a couple hundred girls with those gift bags.
I'm sorry, if you're a single man, you're allowed to have one night stands.
You don't need to give the girl a gift.
I don't hear about it.
Yeah.
It's not exciting.
And also, if I was a girl who got a gift basket from him, I'm fucking tell him. That's ridiculous.
That's the worst story I've ever heard about Derek Jeter. I liked Derek Jeter until just yesterday.
Yeah. Is it worth anything on eBay if that many women have these autographed?
Well, they're rare. Those gift baskets are rare.
He's thinking. I'm going to make a buck off this.
Especially if they're unwrapped and you haven't really took the stuff out. They're probably worth a pretty penny. Yeah.
Okay. I mean,
if you want secrecy, if you're a celebrity and you want to have sex with beautiful women and you want them to be to stop, don't tell anybody, you can hire a high-end prostitute.
I feel like
secrecy is part of the job.
Yeah. They're celebrities, but I mean, it's
and these are normal, not celebrity women, right?
Yeah. Okay. Oh my God, can you imagine? No, he
Kate Hudson gets a gift
here
bag.
Here you go, Cameron. Take this gift basket. I know you can't afford it.
I will say, I wouldn't pay any money for the individual items of the gift basket, but if someone put the complete gift basket on eBay, I'd be very interested to see what that looks like.
Oh,
is it shrink wrapped? Is there like
Easter basket?
Yeah, is there the Easter grass in it?
Are there eggs? Cadbury eggs?
I was thinking it was I thought they were used being generous, calling it a basket. I had a bag. Like, you know, you get like a goodie bag.
Like a swag bag from a celebrity.
Like a watch. An autographed baseball? Go fuck
an autographed baseball and his signature scent, which I own. Yeah. I saw him on a Rachel Ray.
Oh my God. Ew. Yeah.
It's a really obnoxious
move. Don't do that. Yeah. If anybody out there is giving gift baskets to their one night stands.
Yeah, what's the worst thing that's ever happened to you guys in a one night stand situation?
I've never really had a full one night stand. Mm-hmm. I tried and the guy's penis was too big. And it was at the Waldorf Astoria. And I was so excited.
What a sad story.
And he was British. No, everything was great. And then I was like, damn it, that's too big to fit in here. Bye.
What was this guy like?
He was just a gangly British guy who was very cute and very well dressed. Huh. And I had no idea that his penis was gigantic. It was almost as if he like had it altered. It was so big.
Sometimes
and
it's just so surprising.
I tried so hard to get it in.
Did you suck it?
No, because I was just like, ugh, this isn't going to work. I don't want to waste my time.
Yeah. How disappointing.
He was gangly. He was tall.
He was like
skinny?
Gangly. Yeah, he was pretty thin. All like right, a thinner guy. Yeah. You know, did not expect that.
Wow.
And I was just like, bye.
Yeah, I've never been offered money or gifts or anything like that. Maybe I need to try harder.
I've never been offered
maybe I need
any
to be better.
But I've never had a one night stand really. That was the guy's closest they would come.
Oh, although I
didn't have any bad ones.
Well, no? the cab, right? The cab money? Didn't someone offer you cab money?
No.
Oh,
No. Did. I was.
Oh, yeah. A guy once paid for my cab, but I thought that was nice.
Yeah.
Well, I don't mind that, but I usually don't accept it. I don't know. It depends.
We gave it to the driver, which I thought was classy.
Differing views on this.
Oh, that's nice.
On this podcast. And I thought, okay, that's kind of classy.
Oh, that's very sweet.
I feel like from week to week, our opinions on this differentiate.
Yeah. I mean, It depends. It depends on how arrogant I think the guy is already.
Right.
And if he's just like a very sweet guy and he does that, I know that he doesn't mean to be insulting. I don't know. But
that's
if he's
true,
an asshole.
It could be. Yeah, I could see how it could be construed. Like, here's moneymaker, go away. That could be. It could be looked at that way.
Yeah, or like, thanks for the lay, honey.
Or like, take care of her.
Thanks for the pussy, sweetheart.
Because I'm not someone that needs to be taken care of.
But also just letting a girl go home and take the subway at 4 o'clock in the morning, that's a dick move too.
Right.
Letting anyone go just to take the subway. I feel bad when dudes do it too. I'm like, that sucks. Like, you can stay here. Like, that's, you don't need to leave now. It's like, the subways are so slow. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But so how do you feel about that?
Feel about
cab
what?
Money?
Depends. It depends on the person.
Yeah.
I think.
Oh, wait, the tax guy was
a little demeaning.
Was a one night stand.
Oh, that the guy who did your taxes.
Yeah, that was a one night. That was pretty bad.
Why was it bad? How long ago was this?
So Mary Beth had sex with a guy who does her taxes.
No, used to.
No, used
refund,
to. Yeah, yeah. Why?
Yeah.
Why did this happen? Did you feel bad for him? What happened?
I know. You know what? What it was. I was kind of in a bad place, and he was.
True romance stories.
Yeah,
bad.
I was in a really bad place, and he got me back. And again, I'm going to come off shallow, and I'm not. I'm so not a shallow person.
We know you're not.
No shallow shaming here.
No shallow
only
shaming.
Only fat and black shaming. Come on. It's guys we fucked.
But he got me back a huge return. And he said to me, he goes, I'm going to get you back such a big return that you are going to want to have dinner with me. No, he said, I'm going to have dinner with me. And I said, much is it? And I started throwing out amounts.
Well, how much are we talking about?
And he was going higher and higher. And I jokingly said,
I'm going to suck
you on dick. Sounds like I'm going to be doing more than having dinner. Now, I was making a joke. I was making a ha-ha.
Right. A little LOL.
And then he told me the amount. And he goes, what time? And I'm like, I'm still thinking we're on the funny ha-ha. And I, 7 o'clock. And it's like, all right. Then he texted me because he has my address and my phone number. He has all my information.
Oh, God. He has your everything.
Yes. My social security. This guy. So, yeah.
He knows so much about
me. It's
kind
of in my best interest to go follow through with this. You know what I'm saying? Just to.
He can make shit happen.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And he was a pretty powerful guy.
I mean, were you raped? What is
I wasn't.
Here?
I know I wasn't. So I met him at the restaurant and. Again, plied myself with a lot of alcohol to because I was like, oh, I don't.
Is he not cute?
No, not cute at all.
But
I know you like chubsters, but
lubricant.
But yeah, he a big chubster, an older man, older man too.
Was he charming or sweet or
no? Oh, okay. No.
So basically, no redeeming qualities.
Did
except
he have
you
okay
fine
dental
return.
Hygiene?
Okay, dental hygiene.
Okay,
yeah,
there's one.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
a good one. No plaque
yeah,
in the gums.
Yeah, and he was loaded, but you're not gonna be my boyfriend, and this is not gonna go anywhere, you know. So we go back to his apartment. It's a big fancy apartment, and as we're getting undressed, and that's the other bad sign. You shouldn't be taking off your clothes slowly and folding them. Like anytime you're folding your clothes before, that's not good. That's, yeah, I was full. I had time to fold my clothes and arrange them.
Danny Palmer folded my underwear, and that was immediately like a weird thing.
No, no, you should be ripping it off folded or ripping each other's clothes off. This is a one night stand, for crying out loud. Yeah. Let's get some, you know,
he neatly put it on the chair beside his bed.
At least even the gay guy ripped my clothes off. I mean, come on.
Exactly. This it should be thrown on the floor, if not.
If there should be a trail of clothes from your front door to the bedroom.
Yeah.
I should be, in fact, my clothes shouldn't even be in the room. They should be out in the hallway or, you know.
Damn straight.
Yeah. In the elevator. So that was a bad sign. I'm folding. Yeah. And then he made a comment. He goes, oh my God, my breasts are bigger than yours. And they were. And I'm like, okay, you made fun of both of us with that comment.
All right. It's a little icebreaker.
Yeah. And I was like, oh my God, he's right. That was kind of mean. He's clearly a good C cup, if not a D. And here I am. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And way, because he's not wearing a bra and I do. And yeah, you know,
so
I'm perky.
It's sagging.
Yeah. He's got the saggy. Yeah.
So did you have to get on top of him because he was so big?
No, he got on top of me. I wasn't going to mount
that. Did you crush?
Oh my God, I was so crushed. Oh. I was so crushed. But thank God. I don't even think there was a penis. I didn't feel anything inside of me.
Oh.
I honestly did not.
Did he have think to lift it was up tiny, his tiny. Fat?
I don't think that
now,
there was
how
ever.
How fat are we talking?
We're talking a flap. There's definitely a flap.
Okay.
And like there was definitely breasts.
Okay.
Yeah.
So but did he think his penis was inside of you?
I don't know. I don't know now.
Did he come?
Well, you know what? I don't know that either. I don't know that either.
Mystery. God.
There's a lot of mystery.
He didn't
know. There was a condom on the floor, so thank God there was a condom used.
Like, because it fell off?
I know, really.
It was knocked off?
It looked used. But I did not, and I know my body. I didn't feel anything inside me. I did not.
No phantom dick?
No, there was no phantom dick.
Oh, no phantom dick. Jesus.
There was not, as Christine would say, a visitor. There was no visitor. Was that you?
Phantom Dick Corinne talks about it. Like, yeah. Someone's been in here.
No, there was no one in there.
I just have more blackout experience than Christina.
You know, you're usually sore. You could tell there was a visitor. You could tell there was, there was nothing. There was nothing. Yeah.
Sheesh.
Other than my ribs. But the next day was Valentine's Day. So I was like, so we leave his apartment. I stay the night, which
Happy
I probably shouldn't
Valentine's
have. But I was
Day.
Like, there's no way I can get to rest and walk out of here. I just need to sleep this. I need to
sleep
it off.
Did he cuddle with you?
No.
I
just went to the bed.
So I was gonna say, bigger guys probably be fun to cuddle.
Fat guys.
Yeah,
that's why I like them so much.
So, like, when he was in the shower, I got dressed real quick because I didn't want to hear about my breasts again. And,
oh my God!
And he also made fun of how thin I was too. He was like, "Oh my God, you're really thin." I was like, "Yeah, well, you know."
Thanks, shaming, thin shaming.
I
We're just being shame. We're all
shame.
Uncomfortable with ourselves and taking it out on other
really?
People.
Really? Yeah.
That is basically what happens with everyone all the time.
I got dressed and we walked out and the doorman wished us happy Valentine's Day. And I was like, oh yeah, this is
and
kind of a perfect
did some blow.
Day. Yeah, exactly.
Thanks
exactly.
for the return.
We walked down the street and I just couldn't walk with him anymore.
Did he
so
do your taxes after that?
Yeah. And everything was filed. It was electronically filed. So it was all good.
Like,
okay.
After that incident?
Yeah,
No. He never did. I got a tax man now that I've never met. And my tennis partner
that way,
said,
maybe.
You'll never meet him, and you email everything to him, and it's all electronic, so.
Was the return worth it?
Yeah, I think so, because I paid off my credit cards.
That's
and
great.
I went and got a massage, you know.
Wow,
so,
I got to get a good tax
Yeah,
man.
And I had money in savings, so, you know. And it was a story. It was a good story, and... You know, what the hell? You only live once.
Fuck it.
You know? No, did you go to Catholic school?
16 years.
Okay, so let's just, this is a good thing to end on. So I sent Christina this story. I think it was from Gawker, was it?
Yes.
So a school in North Dakota, they, you know how slut shaming is huge in schools with the way girls dress? And
right.
It's so weird because especially like when you're young, you're coming up, you're developing a style, you're coming into your sexuality. I think it's a very bad time to be
very
like,
impressionable.
Yeah, you can't, you need to be able to develop your own shit. So a school in North Dakota recently made it not okay for the students to wear jeggings.
The girls.
Jeggings, okay.
tight jeans,
or
and
leggings.
What?
So all this is
too distracting to the male students.
Yeah, and to do this, the principal of the school showed clips of Julia Roberts in Pretty Woman and be like,
oh,
this
God.
Is what you look like. You can't look
you
like
look
this.
You look like the prettiest prostitute in the land.
Yeah. I was like, number one, Julia Roberts looks
is phenomenal looking.
Amazing. Yeah. Does not look like any prostitute I've ever seen
no.
in my 11 years in New York. Yeah. I would be thrilled if my brother or my dad, I mean, besides the fact that he's married, brought home a woman looking,
that was that fine.
Right.
Like,
are you
that.
Fine?
Yeah. She's gorgeous. She looks
so great. He's confusing the shit out of all the students so by showing them a beautiful woman who's very successful in her career.
Ruining a classic film for these children. I'm more concerned about that. And then number three, just, I mean, they're calling these girls, they're saying that when you dress a certain way, a way that is stylish and socially acceptable in any place except for the school in North Dakota, that you look like a prostitute.
Well, because the guys get too distracted by your ass and they can't control themselves.
Leggings
it's
are
the
so
girl's
not sexy.
Fucking fault
well, that's
for
always,
wearing what she wore.
That's always the reason, though, that they give in schools, because it's distracting to the male students.
Men
fucking
hate leggings.
When will we ever?
If you talk to them, they hate
do.
Leggings.
They do.
There's not a
like
single man.
Pants,
when
they do.
Love when will we fucking start trying to tell the guys to fucking control their goddamn cocks?
Yeah.
It's just it
makes me
America's
so mad.
America's very bad with personal responsibility. As
in my middle school,
before.
We had a similar,
well,
not a similar, but we had this field trip. It was the last year of our middle school career. And we had this big field trip to a camp, and it was the summer. It was almost the end of school year, so it was really warm out. And the principal last minute told us we were going to wear bathing suits because there was a pool and all this stuff. And the principal said, P.S. no bikinis, one pieces only. And we're like, fuck that. And I was so upset by this. I didn't realize in my head that was kind of like body shaming for women, but I knew that something was wrong with it. So I went down to the principal's office with my friend George, who was also pro everybody wearing a bikini.
Of course.
And
George
I was like, we should be able to wear what we want. I really don't understand. This is bullshit. And I think I said that to him because I was really upset. Because I
word
knew
bullshit.
Yeah, and ooh, I knew it felt wrong. Yeah, I was really edgy in middle school. And I just knew it felt wrong. And he was like, "Well, rules are rules. You're not to wear a bikini." And I was like, "That's hilarious." And then the next day was the field trip, and all the girls wear bikinis, and no one did anything about it, and it was fine.
Yeah, well, when everyone wears a bikini.
But then what ended up happening. This is the other part of the story, though. What ended up happening is there was like mud. It had rained the day before. And we're all mud wrestling, but there was like some teachers watching. And
people got real into photography.
Yeah.
That day.
Oh boy.
But so it's like, well, what do you do? You know, what do you do? They shouldn't be watching.
Right.
We shouldn't be in the bikinis. Everyone fucking, I don't know.
Well, I mean,
what's the solution?
Why are you mud wrestling?
Because it was fun.
Yeah, I know, but it seems
dangerous. We weren't mud wrestling in a like sexy way at all. We were just like
running.
It's like a slip and slide in the mud.
I'm worried about the danger. I'm not worried about the fucking sexy.
Oh, yeah. No one did anything crazy.
I mean, the teachers have to watch you because they have to be in charge of your well-being.
Totally.
But, you know, I mean.
One was watching a lot, but, you know, whatever. But yeah, it's like
girls
when
in high school are hot. I watch them too.
And I knew, I was like, I got a fine ass body and I want to show it off because I'm pretty sure it's not going to be this way forever.
Right, exactly.
And also it's a fucking, I don't own a fucking one piece. I've never owned a one piece. So anyway, that's my little tale.
And one pieces can be totally hot too. So the whole thing
absolutely.
Is just stupid. You can see everything.
Really, yeah.
You can see everything.
I also had my seventh grade teacher said I dressed slutty because I wore really low cut jeans. And she was like, guys can see your, you know. And I was like, my what? She's like, your other parts. I'm like, I don't care. And I hated her from that moment on.
They can see your other parts?
She basically was trying to tell me that everyone could see my vagina, but that wasn't true.
How low cut were these jeans?
They were Britney Spears, super low cut, and they only zipped. They didn't have a button. That was the other thing. That was why she was so pissed, because they were low cut and I guess a little bit of my stomach had showed, but I didn't wear belly shirts or anything.
Yeah.
But there was no button. It was just the zip. So it was very like, ooh, so I can imagine taking that
a
off.
A slip.
And
yeah,
she
exactly.
got real pissed at me. This woman was just mad
because she wasn't boning anybody and she was fucking teaching middle schoolers and everything sucked in her life. That's why. Anytime anyone's acting all bitchy and stuff, it's something bad is happening.
Yeah. It's usually not about you. It's about their inner feelings.
Yeah, they're uptight. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Mary Beth.
Thank
Where
you.
Can we find you on the Twitter?
Oh, Twitter.
And the Facebook or whatever you want to promote.
Yeah. It's you can either pronounce it Moon's There Alone or Moon's the Real One. That's my Twitter.
I always thought it was Moon's the Real One.
So did I.
But
now it's Moon's There Alone to me.
They're like, oh, Moon's There Alone. And I'm like,
ooh,
oh,
wow, I'm on
that.
Yeah.
I like that. Very nice.
So, yeah.
And you have
Twitter
a weekly show?
I have a weekly show. Well, no, it's changing now.
Okay.
It's going to be a monthly show. So
at Otto's?
First Friday of the month at Otto's.
Otto's Shrunken Head.
14th
and
Street
River
between
Mooney's
A and B.
Comedy Confessional is starting at New World Stages on November 2nd.
Awesome. That's cool.
So all right. So Mary Beth will tweet about it, follow her on Twitter. We'll retweet it. It'll be a whole party. And make sure to follow us on Twitter at SRYAboutLastNYT. Send any questions to the show at SorryAboutLastNightShow@gmail.com. Like us on Facebook, all that stuff. Yeah, we really need your support. And we thank you for all the support, especially everyone who came out to our show in Brooklyn this past week. And all the birthday wishes. You guys have been really good to us in our time of need.
Yeah, we love you guys.
Thank you so much.
Have a good week.